Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to KMOX At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening on a Wednesday evening. Thanks for staying up late with us here on The Voice of St. Louis. I asked Maria Kina to stick around because, Maria, you and I share a love of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And today is National Mutt Day.
Oh.
And you've got at least one mutt, don't you?
I have two.
You have two?
I have two.
All right. So let's hear it. Let's hear about your mutts.
Well, the one you know, is a black dog. So, of course, all black dogs are called Labradors.
I know. We were talking about this before we went on the show tonight. But, I got my dog from the Humane Society. They said, oh, it's a black lab. It's not a black lab.
No, it's
a black
like
dog.
It. Exactly.
Any black dog is labeled a black lab.
Totally is. It's and there are other black dogs that are not labs. But whenever you adopt one, it's always a black lab. And my other feller, Constantine, who's quite the little handful, I got him from Stray Rescue when I went to do a story, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got him home, I later found out he had great Pyrenees in him, so he's quite the bruiser. And I don't know what else he has in him, something that makes him eat the couch.
Yes.
But he's a mutt through and through.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the best.
I love mutts, and today's National Mutt Day, and we've got an interview coming up in the next segment, but otherwise, I'm going to be repeating this throughout the evening. I love hearing dog stories.
Oh, me too.
And so if I do want to ask the question, I'm not biased on this, but I just don't know. I've heard this debate about whether mutts are better than purebreds. I'm sure, like with anything, it's just subjective.
Yeah.
But, if folks have an idea on that, they can call in after the next segment. I'll be doing an interview, but boy, they become part of your family, don't they?
Oh my, they are family.
They are.
I mean, they just have four legs and fur and can't talk.
Well, listen, I get along with my dog a lot better than I get along with some of my relatives.
I'm like, give me dogs over people anytime.
Oh, absolutely. But I will tell you this, and I'm not upset about this in any way, but you'll find this funny. When I got got one of my dogs at the Humane Society, this was years ago, it was a female, because in my house, everything's female but me.
Oh.
I got all daughters. I've got all sisters, and every dog we get is female. I'm doing the backstroke in estrogen at the Young household, okay? But we get this dog, and we bring the dog home, and the dog was supposed to be, spayed or neutered, mm-hmm. right? So we get the dog home, and a couple of days later, the dog mm-hmm. starts mm-hmm. going into mm-hmm. the monthly thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the dog back, and I mentioned it to the vet at the Humane Society, and he had a Greek accent. And he comes in, and I said, it matters for this. And I said, hey, I love my dog. She's great. But she's not really been spayed or neutered. And I thought that was like a deal here. So he looks at the dog. He looks at the important part of the dog. He looks up to the sky, and he says, oh, my goodness, this makes us look like idiots. And then
seriously?
And then he said, come back in an hour, and she'll be fine.
And oh, so my gosh.
She wasn't fixed. No, she wasn't. Not at all. Which, by the way, the whole word fixed,
I don't like the word because
literally everything was fixed before you messed with it. I mean, the word should be now it's broken, right?
So true.
But they say it's fixed. Fixed implies something didn't work and now it does.
Yes.
But with the dog, something was working and now it doesn't.
And now we made it stop working.
And so when something stops working, we call it fixed. I've never understood that word.
Simone, when I got her, it was from a rescue group, and, mm-hmm. and they weren't sure if she had puppies or not, which they told me afterwards. And I'm like, well, okay, if she has them, then we have to have them,
Sure.
Well, I go back, and they're like, well, I don't know. We took an ultrasound. And I'm like, you don't know? And they're like, no. So I go in to have her fixed.
Yes, yes.
And when I come back to pick her up, they're like, well, I'm like, how'd it go? They're like, well, everything went fine, except she had already been spayed. And I'm like, what?
Hmm?
You opened my dog up twice for no reason. You couldn't tell that with an ultrasound, and they couldn't. But she's fine. She did fine with it. Constantine has been corrected, but not so that he knows it.
Okay.
He and his sister. His sister. He thinks. I'm like, stop that! Don't let the neighbors see this.
Well, there's a bit of futility in those actions.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. We'll keep this PG.
That's right.
Keep it PG, but a little bit of futility.
Yes. So there. Maybe not fixed totally.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak,
right?
That's
right.
Okay, I can't top that, so I'm going to have to go on a break here. Thank you, Maria, for sticking around. I love talking to Maria Kina. She's the best. Also, who else is the best? And that is Dan Kleffner. You know Dan. He's the president of Central Bank here in St. Louis. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk to Dan Kleffner about the current state of the economy. I love checking in with him because he knows what is going on. So stick around. We'll talk economic issues, and then after we talk to Dan Kleffner, we'll have phone lines open for the rest of the show. You know, last week we had solid calls. I love that. This show is about what's on your mind. And the phones are always ringing. I love getting texts, 314-436-7900, because when I say this is at your service, that's exactly what I mean. We are at your service. Dan Kleffner, Central Bank of St. Louis, coming up next here on KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. You know, earlier this year, we heard lots of financial experts say that inflation should be cooling, interest rates should be coming down, our financial conditions should be improving. But has anything really changed, and what are we looking for down the road? Joining us this evening, of course, is President of Central Bank of St. Louis, Dan Kleffner. Dan, great to talk to you again.
Thanks, Brad. Great to be with you again.
Well, hey, before we dive into these topics, I got to tell you something just completely random because it's relevant to you. I was at the game last night. I've got season tickets to the Cardinals games, but I'm at the game last night and watching with interest when Tommy Pham comes up, coming back to St. Louis, hits a grand slam, literally the first time he's at the plate as he returns as a St. Louis Cardinal. And when they showed the replay like five different times, what comes up on the screen but the Central Bank of St. Louis replay? And I was thinking, hey, I want to talk to Dan tomorrow night. But I just want to thank you for doing that, because I was just watching that on the screen, the replay after replay after replay. It was all sponsored by Central Bank. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, we're happy to do it. And we've got just a fantastic relationship and partnership with the St. Louis Cardinals as their hometown bank. And it's kind of funny because we'll be around other sponsors at times with the Cardinals. And some of the other sponsors are just incredibly jealous of that.
Yes.
And are asking when we're going to give it up. And we have no plans to give up the replay anytime soon.
Yeah, so, it's perfect because every time there's something fantastic going on at the screen, everyone associates fantastic with Central Bank. So I just think that's a great promotion. I'm not getting anything from it. I'm just letting you know that I enjoyed seeing that last night as I was watching the replay of Tommy Pham. But the real reason I wanted to talk to you is because I love to reach out to you when I have economic questions about the economy. And I read just today that inflation fell 0.1% in June compared to May. And a lot of the analysts are saying that this really helps the case for lowering interest rates. But what do you see right now in terms of where the Fed interest rates are going?
Yeah, so the bigger, I guess, move from in terms of inflation is from January through June. So in January, it had hit 3.7%, and it's been dropping really ever since March. Now that's down to 3%, you know, that's real progress considering, you know, 2 years ago it was at 9.1%. So that's why we had the quick spike up in interest rates was to combat that. But really, the move from 3.7 to 3% in 6 months is really what's sort of driving, you know, the economists to think, okay, well, maybe we are going to kind of get it just right this time and sort of ease into a soft landing.
Well, and we talk about interest rates, and I know a lot of times people's eyes roll when they hear economic jargon, but how do interest rates impact those who, you know, might live and work on Main Street rather than those who just work on Wall Street?
Well, I mean, it's in everything really related to debt. And so you may, want to go out and buy a car, and the interest rate on your car loan now may be 6 or 7 or 8% versus, 2 years ago, you were borrowing at 3%. The same thing goes for somebody who's out looking for a home. I mean, we all know that the mortgage rates are up considerably from the lows of, 2021, 2022, when many of us have home loans in the twos and threes. And
right.
So, when you go out and you try to buy a house now and they're in the sevens and eights, it's kind of a shock, even though historically, 6 to 7% has always been considered a pretty good rate.
Yeah, but we got spoiled. It's like the kid who spends the weekend with grandparents and thinks, oh, every night for dinner, I'm getting a chocolate cake and cotton candy. That's what I'm having for dinner because that's what grandma's giving me. They get kind of used to it.
That's a great metaphor. I mean, we were on definitely on a sugar high in the last couple of years in terms of where interest rates were.
But interest rates, and you mentioned whether you're buying a car or buying a home, when those interest rates go up and we're paying more in interest, then that leaves less money. If I'm paying more interest on my debt, and it could even include credit card debt, if I'm paying more interest on that, that means I've got less money to go to the movies or go out to eat or buy books or whatever.
That's exactly right. Now, over the last couple of years, because of inflation, salaries and wages, spiked as well. But now that things are sort of cooling off in the employment area, unemployment is up to 4.1%, which isn't terrible. It's not bad at all, but it is starting to climb a little bit. So, getting that next job may not be as easy as it was, 6 months, a year ago.
We're talking to Dan Kleffner, the president of Central Bank of St. Louis, and Dan, one of the things obviously that Central Bank does is give home loans. So, from your perspective, this year, as we've been just battling these high interest rates, how does that impact everything from mortgage applications to home sales? How do those high interest rates impact those businesses?
What's interesting is we finance a lot of new homes and a lot of existing homes, and the new home market is doing well. We have builders that we finance as well, and their activity has been strong. But the bigger issue is for those that are looking for a home that's not a new home, that's an existing home, is there's just not much inventory out there. And so that, as much as interest rates, has affected the market. Interestingly enough, the median sales price is as high as it's ever been. And that's really just because no one wants to part from that 3% mortgage.
Yes.
And so, if you don't have sellers, you the buyers have nowhere to go. But we have seen that, once interest rates, historically, once interest rates get, around 6 or lower, we'll see a lot more activity. We think we'll see, a lot more homeowners that, don't want to part starting to think about selling, at least.
Sure. And hopefully then that will spur some additional new home sales as well. I mean, if people are needing to move, they want to buy a new home, that creates more of an inventory. And it's kind of all tied together, isn't it?
It really is. Yep. It all works together.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you, and not that I need any facts or figures on this, Dan, but and I'm not going to get into politics in any way, shape, form, or manner here. But when I look, I like to follow economic trends in Asia and in Europe. And when I look at particularly China right now, they're a bit sluggish. You always can't trust all the numbers that come out of China. When I look at Europe, there's a lot of a flattening of the economy, not a lot of growth over there. And then when I look at our U.S., I'm seeing some positive factors. So from an international perspective, how are we as a nation doing economically compared to, say, Europe or Asia?
I think you summed it up pretty well, Brad. I mean, the U.S. is doing very well. We have got a 2.8% GDP. I know you weren't asking for facts or figures, but I just did hear that. So we're growing. Our economy's growing. Inflation is dropping. We've got a very stable workforce at 4.1% unemployment, like I mentioned before. So, relative to Europe and relative to Asia, we're in really good shape. Sometimes I think we like to think that things are worse than they are. But I would say, the U.S. is doing pretty well right now. And we can all argue about other, things that are probably more political in ways that it's not. But I think if you look at the numbers and the facts, I think we're doing well.
Good. One of the questions, I want to go back to interest rates for just a second here, not to do a deep dive, but one of the things that I do, whether it's in my personal finances, I also work with the finances at my church. And one of the things that we do is we try to move money into what's called money market accounts out of, say, a passbook savings account, because interest rates on money market accounts, those are higher because, I mean, for decades, a passbook savings account, it was kind of like, why bother? Because the interest rate wasn't, there was nothing. But when you move money into these money market accounts that a lot of folks can do today, you can actually get a pretty decent return on your investment, can't you, in terms of just pure liquid money that's sitting in an account?
You can. And, you know, 3 years ago, savers were not rewarded at all because the interest rates were really held down. Now the money market rates and the CD rates are really attractive for those savers. You know, and not to get too technical, but we still have a bit of an inverted yield curve. And so what that means is that the short-term rates, you know, the rates that you can earn on a money market versus, say, a five-year CD, the rates on the money market would be better right now. You know, you can maybe get a little bit more yield if you go to a 2, 4, or 6 month CD than you can in your money market account, because that provides the bank with a little bit more stability about how they can then make, you know, put that money into loans. But without a doubt, money market rates are finally paying people, you know, attractive rates.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like to do, both with personal finances and finances for my church, Dan, is that we'll put money into rolling 3 month CDs, yeah, and say put one in a 3 month CD and one in a 6 month and one in a 9 month. So then over the course of the next 9 months, you know, we're getting a higher interest rate, but then we also get cash coming in every 3 months, which improves liquidity.
Right. And that's, you know, a laddering approach. You know, think of a ladder and the different rungs on the ladder. And, you know, as you climb up, you know, you're basically, you know, receiving liquidity as you go. And that's worked out really well for a lot of our customers. And it kind of gives you that chance to sort of kind of lock in rates at a little bit longer of a term, just in case rates do start to fall back. You've got that. But you also do have that reoccurring liquidity as those CDs mature.
Very good. Dan Kleffner, president of Central Bank of St. Louis. Dan, if folks have questions about whether it's money market accounts or CDs, it could be home loans or new construction or existing home loans, how can folks reach you at Central Bank?
Sure. Give us a call at 314-862-8300. And you can ask for me, and I'll be happy to put you in touch with who you need to talk to based on what your needs are. We also have, you know, an active website at www.centralbank.net, and we'd be happy to help you.
Dan Kleffner, president.
Also, I mean, I'm not trying to throw an advertisement out there for you, Brad, but we have a great central trust and investment company. So, you know, one of these days, maybe it would be helpful for me to bring on one of our portfolio managers for you to kind of hear about, you know, what they think market. You know, if you'd be interested to hear about that.
Yeah,
but Central Trust and Investment can be reached at that same number.
It sounds like you're planning one of my future shows, Dan. Thank you. I appreciate that. Dan Kleffner, president of Central Bank and KMOX producer now. Thanks so much.
I'm kind of trying to take the heat off myself because the last time I was and I'm like, well, that's really not my bailiwick. So, if we could help, you know, let us know.
Will do, Dan. Thanks so much for joining us this evening on KMOX. Great to talk to you again.
All right. Likewise. Take care.
Take care, Dan. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines. I've got lots of topics to talk about tonight. I always do. I mean, every Wednesday night, I come in with about 30 different things to talk about, and I get through about four of them. So we got lots of things to discuss here this evening, but including in the mix, because I'm going to talk about the Olympics, about the Paris Olympics, the opening ceremonies, whether you watch that or not. We're going to talk about police in St. Louis County. We're going to talk about how regulations in Washington take money out of your wallet. These are all just some of the topics we're going to get to here this evening on KMOX, but also mutts or purebreds. Now, listen, today's National Mutt Day. I've got a mutt. Every dog I've ever had has been a mutt. I've loved them to death. But I want to hear from you. What do you think? Mutts versus purebreds? which have worked better for you. Phone lines are open and text 314-436-7900 at your service. We'll be right back. It's Brad Young in with you this evening. And before I start diving into some of these topics, I always forget to mention this. I get a lot of emails and I love getting emails from listeners. My law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young, that's where I'm at all day long. If you want to shoot me an email about any topics you hear, anything you like, you don't like, anything that comes to mind, I respond to every single email, and I would love to hear from you. My email address, B Young, it's good to be young, right? B-Y-O-U-N-G at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. And before I get to some of those topics, particularly the Olympics, because I do want to get into that this hour, I also want to mention this because this was breaking right when we came on the show at 8 o'clock, and that is that the U.S. military, Department of Justice, has announced that they've reached a plea deal with Sheikh Khalid Mohammed. He's the mastermind behind the 9/11. I wasn't even aware of it literally until I heard it at the top of the hour on CBS News right here. But they've reached a plea deal, and the plea deal doesn't mean that he's getting out of prison. But it does mean that he is going to be spared the death penalty. So he's pleading guilty to planning and orchestrating the 9/11 attacks, the greatest attack on the United States since World War II, or really any time, maybe one of the greatest attacks on the United States. And he's pleading guilty in exchange for no death penalty. Now, as I was looking into this during one of the prior breaks, it occurred to me that wonder what the families think. Wonder what the families of those who lost loved ones, who lost friends in 9/11, when the towers came down, how would they feel knowing that their family members died and the guy who planned it, the guy who orchestrated it, we had solid evidence. There was no question. It wasn't like, oh, it was my twin brother who did it. I mean, they know he did it. They could prove that he did it. And yet they took that off the table in exchange for a plea deal so that he would spend the rest of his life in prison there in Guantanamo Bay, but not be executed for the crimes that he committed, because thousands of Americans were executed on 9/11. And Sheikh Khalid Mohammed is not going to be executed for committing that crime. What do you think about that? Well, how would you feel if you lost someone in that? Maybe you did. But does it seem fair that the guy who kills literally thousands of Americans, he himself won't face the death penalty? He's going to get meals for the rest of his life. Now, it's not a country club, but then again, look what he did. Look how he damaged our country. Look how he attacked our country. We're forever changed because of 9/11, and he planned it. He executed it. He executed the people who died, the Americans who died. People from all over the world also, in addition to Americans, died on that day. And is it fair that he gets to live while thousands of Americans died literally at his hands? 314-436-7900. Calls or texts, would love to hear from you this evening. The other thing that I would like to hear from you on is this. I was out of town on Friday, so I didn't get a chance to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Now, I always love watching the Olympics. I always love listening to updates. Throughout the day, I'm always checking my phone on the medal count. I mean, it's one of those things that I just enjoy. And when I recorded it, the opening ceremony Friday night, and then Saturday, my wife and I started to watch it, and we just decided we weren't going to watch it. Because of two things in particular. One, because it was in France, and number one, they were doing things that were very sexually suggestive. I didn't think that was appropriate. But the other thing that to me was completely inappropriate was the entire skit, I will call it that, that mocked the Last Supper of Jesus Christ with his disciples. And it was mocking it in terms of there was like a blue demon smurf or something. I don't know what he was supposed to be. And it was people in drag. There was one person who had a halo around his head that was looking like the every one of the famous paintings depicting Jesus has that halo around their heads. And this person had that. So it was obvious that that person was supposed to be mocking Jesus. And my wife and I just said, we're not going to watch that. We're not going to watch something that's blasphemous and is being sold to us as entertainment. What I found interesting today, because we didn't watch it, we, in essence, boycotted it with our eyes. Now, we did record it, so unfortunately that's going to be logged as us watching it. But we chose not to watch it. But here's what's interesting. One of the activists who was in this Last Supper Paris Olympic scene, ironically, her name is Barbara Butch. She's an LGBTQ activist. She's threatening to sue. She's threatening to file lawsuits and legal actions in the United States and elsewhere for people who are mocking or criticizing this LGBTQ blasphemous representation of the Last Supper.
Right back.
It's Brad Young in with you this evening. And before I start diving into some of these topics, I always forget to mention this. I get a lot of emails, and I love getting emails from listeners. My law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young, that's where I'm at all day long. If you want to shoot me an email about any topics you hear, anything you like, you don't like, anything that comes to mind, I respond to every single email, and I would love to hear from you. My email address, B Young, it's good to be young, right? B-Y-O-U-N-G at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. And before I get to some of those topics, particularly the Olympics, because I do want to get into that this hour, I also want to mention this because this was breaking right when we came on the show at 8 o'clock, and that is that the U.S. military Department of Justice has announced that they've reached a plea deal with Sheikh Khalid Mohammed. He's the mastermind behind the 9/11. I wasn't even aware of it literally until I heard it at the top of the hour on CBS News right here. But they've reached a plea deal, and the plea deal doesn't mean that he's getting out of prison. But it does mean that he is going to be spared the death penalty. So he's pleading guilty to planning and orchestrating the 9/11 attacks, the greatest attack on the United States since World War II, or really any time, maybe one of the greatest attacks on the United States. And he's pleading guilty in exchange for no death penalty. Now, as I was looking into this during one of the prior breaks, it occurred to me that wonder what the families think. Wonder what the families of those who lost loved ones, who lost friends in 9/11, when the towers came down. How would they feel knowing that their family members died and the guy who planned it, the guy who orchestrated it, we had solid evidence. There was no question. It wasn't like, oh, it was my twin brother who did it. I mean, they know he did it. They could prove that he did it. And yet they took that off the table in exchange for a plea deal so that he would spend the rest of his life in prison there in Guantanamo Bay, but not be executed for the crimes that he committed, because thousands of Americans were executed on 9/11. And Sheikh Khalid Mohammed is not going to be executed for committing that crime. What do you think about that? Well, how would you feel if you lost someone in that? Maybe you did. But does it seem fair that the guy who kills literally thousands of Americans, he himself won't face the death penalty? He's going to get meals for the rest of his life. Now, it's not a country club, but then again, look what he did. Look how he damaged our country. Look how he attacked our country. We're forever changed because of 9/11. And he planned it. He executed it. He executed the people who died, the Americans who died. People from all over the world also, in addition to Americans, died on that day. And is it fair that he gets to live while thousands of Americans died literally at his hands? 314-436-7900. Calls or texts, would love to hear from you this evening. The other thing that I would like to hear from you on is this. I was out of town on Friday, so I didn't get a chance to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Now, I always love watching the Olympics. I always love listening to updates. Throughout the day, I'm always checking my phone on the medal count. I mean, it's one of those things that I just enjoy. And when I recorded it, the opening ceremony Friday night, and then Saturday, my wife and I started to watch it, and we just decided we weren't going to watch it because of two things in particular. One, because it was in France, and number one, they were doing things that were very sexually suggestive. I didn't think that was appropriate. But the other thing that to me was completely inappropriate was the entire skit, I will call it that, that mocked the Last Supper of Jesus Christ with his disciples. And it was mocking it in terms of there was like a blue demon smurf or something. I don't know what he was supposed to be. And it was people in drag. There was one person who had a halo around his head that was looking like the every one of the famous paintings depicting Jesus has that halo around their heads. And this person had that. So it was obvious that that person was supposed to be mocking Jesus. And my wife and I just said, we're not going to watch that. We're not going to watch something that's blasphemous and is being sold to us as entertainment. What I found interesting today, because we didn't watch it, we in essence boycotted it with our eyes. Now, we did record it, so unfortunately that's going to be logged as us watching it. But we chose not to watch it. But here's what's interesting. One of the activists who was in this Last Supper Paris Olympic scene, ironically, her name is Barbara Butch. She's an LGBTQ activist. She's threatening to sue. She's threatening to file lawsuits and legal actions in the United States and elsewhere for people who are mocking or criticizing this LGBTQ blasphemous representation of the Last Supper. Now, here's what I think is interesting. Now, in the United States, if you've listened to this show in any length of time, you'll know that I'm a very strong supporter of free speech. And if the question is, should this be allowed? If someone wants to mock the Last Supper, can they do that legally? Absolutely. I don't have to like it. I don't have to watch it. I don't have to participate in it. But is it legal? Should they be prosecuted for that? Absolutely not. But what I do object to is my tax dollars and your tax dollars being used to help fund the Olympic Games, and in part, our tax money goes, I hope this isn't the case, but that's my concern. If our tax dollars went to help promote this blasphemous activity, that to me would be an outrage. And I want to look in to see whether any tax dollars go towards that, because by and large, the Olympic, U.S. Olympics, I know is privately funded. And I want to see if any tax dollars went to that. That would upset me. But should it be banned? No. But I found it interesting that from this woman, her name is Barbara Butch. I'm not mocking her name. That's her name. But she wants to use the legal system to stop criticism of what she calls art. And I'm sure if her and I had a conversation, she would say that I'm closed-minded, that because I'm a Christian, that somehow I can't appreciate true art when it's shown in front of me. But she wants to use the legal system to stop me and others from criticizing what we saw on Friday night. And yet me, the supposed closed-minded Christian, is the one who says, you have the absolute right to display that filth, whatever you want to call it. You have the right to do that, but I don't have to pay for it. And I shouldn't have to watch it. But I'm not going to use the power of the government to shut that down. And yet she, yeah, I don't know if she's a he or a she, frankly, I don't know. But that person wants to use the power of the government to stop criticism. To me, that I'm just wondering which of the two is actually the one who is closed-minded. I've got some other stories about the Paris Olympics as well, but if you saw it, because I didn't actually see it because I stopped watching it, and we did get a text that says, and I'm going to quote here, who is this dope on the air? Why does he keep pushing this false narrative that the opening ceremony was mocking Christians? Well, if you'd like to call me, we can discuss it, and I can show you all the ways that it made comparisons with the Last Supper. It was mocking Christians, and to say otherwise is simply trying to redirect the narrative away from the issue at hand. 314-436-7900. More on the Paris Olympic debacle next on Camo X. All the texts we've gotten in here. I've got a lot. But this one is my favorite. I gotta mention this one. Because here's the way this text starts. Brad Young is a complete idiot and should not be allowed on Camo X. I hear him occasionally during the day. I usually don't listen in the evening. And then he goes on to disparage me in various and sundry ways, including questioning my parentage. But here's the whole point. He attacks me, or she, I don't know if it's a he or she, but this person attacks me for comparing the opening ceremony to the Last Supper. Well, a Paris 2024 Olympics spokesperson over the weekend admitted that the controversial drag show version of the Last Supper was actually based on the iconic Da Vinci mural. They admitted it. And I'm going to quote you. This is exactly what the spokesperson said. Quote, Thomas Jolly took inspiration from Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting of the Last Supper to create this setting. Unquote. So to call me an idiot for making a comparison between these two things when the Olympics Paris spokesperson himself admitted that one was based on the other, I'm just wondering which of the two of us is the idiot here. So I don't understand how I can be accused of being an idiot when the spokesperson admits that those two things are related. Plus, to put all these individuals in drag, to mock Christianity, and I'm supposed to be okay with it. Why is that? But literally what I think is the most ironic part of this entire debate is the idea that one of the persons who put this together wants to literally use the power of the government to stop individuals from criticizing what they did. I don't want that. I don't want the power of the government to do that. That's what free speech is for. This is the marketplace of ideas. That's why I do this show. I don't need the money. I'm plenty busy during the day at my law firm. But I do this because this marketplace of ideas is the quintessential way to discuss ideas. You know, at no time during this show when I do At Your Service do I attack political candidates. I don't endorse political candidates. I don't call political candidates names. That's not what this show's about. This show's about the power of ideas. And when I see that power of ideas on Friday night's opening ceremony, the idea that was coming across was an attempt to mock Christianity by putting people in drag, by having individuals representing Jesus in painting and in artwork, but they are literally in a drag show. And so the point was to mock Christianity. That was the idea. And by the admission of the literal spokesperson for the Paris opening ceremony Olympics, admitting as such, and yet I'm the idiot by pointing out what that person said. Yeah, that's interesting. Because ideas have consequences. And the consequence of the idea that they wanted to get across was, if you're offended by this, you are an imbecile. You are an ignorant person. Because we're not as enlightened as the French. We're not as enlightened as the Europeans. And they like to mock Americans. They like to mock Midwesterners. Whenever I was in Europe one time, I got mocked a lot for being from the Midwest. And I was a kid then, and I didn't stand up as much as I do today. I wouldn't take it today. But here's the other thing I want to mention. Paris spent, get this, the River Seine, which I think is interesting because it's pronounced sin. The River Seine is filthy. The E. coli levels are off the charts. Paris spent $1.5 billion to clean the Seine River, which again, you can take that metaphor a lot of different ways here. But they spent all this money to clean the Seine River, and as of yesterday, activities that were supposed to be in the Seine River had to be postponed. because it's still filthy. The E. coli levels. And folks, when they say the E. coli levels are high, you know what that means. That means raw sewage. That means fecal matter. All right? I'm not, that's as blunt as I'm going to be on the radio. But that's what it means. It's been illegal to swim in the Seine River for over 100 years. And somehow, I'm the imbecile. You know what? We don't want raw sewage in the river. And yet, you know, I'm the imbecile, even though you're the one with raw sewage in the river. I don't really understand that. I went on a cruise a couple of years ago on the Rhine River on one of those Viking cruises. Had a great time. One of the best vacations my family's ever had. And the Rhine River was beautiful. It was clean. And I learned that Germany spent years cleaning that up after industrial waste from World War II. But it's beautiful. And they got the job done. Paris, not so much. So here's my recommendation. My recommendation is that if all of those people in the drag show want to continue to mock Christianity, here, I've got a recommendation for you. Why don't you all get baptized in the Seine River, okay? Go on down, dunk your heads in the water, but make sure you take some antibiotics because you're gonna need it. Brad Young at your service tonight. We've got another hour coming up next on Camo X.